Well, good evening, church. It's good to see you all this evening. Last Friday, as final preparations were being made for Sam and Erica's wedding, and the hand of the clock was slowly ticking towards that 11 a.m. start time, 40 minutes before the ceremony began, out there in the fellowship hall, there were some kids staring up at the missions wall. Asafe and two red-headed, freckled-faced kids that belonged to a lady who was a friend of Erica's. And I could hear them say as I approached them, "That's Hawaii. Here's Mexico." So they're picking out different places on the map that they recognized and that they knew. Now, I love geography, and I love to travel, and I dream of traveling. And if I'm ever staring off into space, it's because I'm probably on some hike in Hungary or, you know, in the middle of Greece somewhere. So only if I had the time and the resources to allow me to travel, I would, but I'm stuck with my imagination. There's just a little tiny spirit of adventure nestled within my soul. And so I jumped in on their little game. They're identifying places on the map, and I'm all for that. So I jump in, and I say two words that kids never want to hear. Pop quiz. Pop quiz. But to my surprise, they were excited. They're like, "They're all for it. Let's go." So, okay, here we go. And so I'm not going to be easy on them. They're 6, 7, 8 years old, that age group right there. I'm not going to be easy. I'm going to really test their knowledge. And so the first thing I pointed to was this little tiny island off the eastern coast of Africa. Who knows what it is? Madagascar, yes. But they did not know Madagascar. This is a layup, kids. I'm giving you a freebie right here. Madagascar. But they knew the movie. They'd watched all the movies. But they could not identify the island on the map. They couldn't spell it. I mean, they're 6 years old and you can't spell Madagascar. What are they teaching these kids in school? Okay, we'll try another one. Antarctica. Which, that was a setup because Antarctica is so far down the map, it's not even on our map. So it's not on the wall out there. And so they couldn't find Antarctica either. About this time, the mother of the redheads, she walks up, and she wants to take part in this game too, and she's a lot nicer than I am. And so she goes to the Western Hemisphere, and she points to Mexico. And they'd guessed Hawaii and Mexico, so they knew what Mexico was, and they gave the answer right away. And then she travels north of Mexico, and there's no borders or lines on that map, but she travels north of the border, and in no place particular. She's just trying to go for the center of the map, and she hits what I'm going to roughly assume was Missouri. Somewhere around Missouri, she places her finger, and she says, "What country is this?" Now, Asafe, he does not know state lines, apparently, because he says, "Texas." That was his answer, right? Didn't even skip a beat. Texas. So according to Asafe, this whole country is just Texas. This great union that we live in, it's all Texas. So maybe we should have him redraw the congressional map lines. Right? If he redrew the congressional map lines, we'd be in a better shape if this was all Texas. I have a pop quiz for us tonight. I gave a pop quiz to the kids. And I have one for y'all tonight. It's fill in the blank, and it's multiple choice, so don't sweat it. The phrase that we hear this time of year, "'tis the season of," or "this is the season of." How does that phrase go? Is it A, shopping? I mean, we have the Black Friday sales, we have Cyber Monday, everybody's trying to buy Christmas gifts for their family and friends. "'Tis the season of shopping." "'Tis the season of," B, "giving." Okay, we give gifts to one another. Or perhaps it's the season of hunting. Men, it's deer season, right? We're going out to the woods. We're trying to put meat on the table. We're trying to pack the freezer with as much meat as we can stuff in there. "'Tis the season of hunting." I mentioned this to Caitlin just the other night. Walking home, Sunday night, it was cool. It wasn't too cold. But it was cool outside, and just breathing in that fall air, that winter air, this makes me want to go hunting. Not deer hunting, coon hunting. I love cold, crisp nights. 'tis the season of hunting? Or is it D, 'tis the season of receiving? Maybe we are receiving gifts. Or E, you have to throw this in with a multiple choice. All of the above. So 'tis the season of shopping, giving, hunting, receiving, or all of the above. What say you? Okay, let's. I just threw that in there for fun. It's not all the above, so we'll scratch that one. Shopping, giving, hunting, or receiving. That's how the phrase goes, right? We're familiar with this phrase. This is the season of giving. Do we all agree with that? Okay, most of us, I think. Most of us agree with that. Congratulations, you have failed my quiz. I set you up. Some of you are going to be in the principal's office tomorrow complaining that I give, you know, set up quizzes. But you can't drop the class tonight. I have you for one more lesson. And so tonight's lesson from God's Word, 'tis the season of receiving. 'Tis the season of receiving. This holiday season, it starts around Thanksgiving and it continues through Christmas into the new year. Yes, we have certain days like the Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, where we gather with family and friends and we sit down and we celebrate with one another. But honestly, this feels like a multi-week, multi-month shindig or sparkling affair, however you want to describe it. It's just celebration after celebration after celebration. Every sunrise brings another event. Party after party. There's work parties. There's family festivities. There's church celebrations that we have. The neighbor two doors down is inviting you over to enjoy in their big old feast that they're having. It's just event after event, party after party. It's like endless breadsticks at Olive Garden. Eventually, you have to scream, "No more! I don't want any more." You're trying to pass those crusty logs off as garlic bread. Keep them. That's what this holiday season is like. It's party and event after event. So if we're honest with one another, it's a busy time of year, and it borders on being exhausting. We get tired with all of the festivities. But if we're honest, we'll also admit that it is one of the most wonderful times of our year. It is an opportunity for fun and games, an opportunity to build friendships and cultivate relationships and to make lasting memories. This is a wonderful time of year, a time of year that we can rejoice and be thankful. It is a festive time of year. And all of these festivities, all of these celebrations and parties that we're having, they at least have one thing in common, and that's food. Now, we say food is a Baptist thing, but honestly, it's a human thing. Humanity loves food. And the food that we have during this holiday season, it isn't your toothpick hors d'oeuvres or your, you know, French onion dip. No, this is the real deal. Everybody's pulling out all the stops. And by the way, I was looking up hors d'oeuvres, how to spell that, so I could put it in my notes. And I was like, hors d'oeuvres, and I won't tell you how I tried to spell it. I was way off. But if you ever enter into a spelling bee, just think horse devours, and that will be hors d'oeuvres. But what we're enjoying nowadays is not hors d'oeuvres and dip. No, this, everybody is breaking out their fine dinnerware. Damascus knives are delicately slicing meat that would rival the best steakhouse in Dallas. Desserts are made from scratch, and they just melt in your mouth. And it's all washed down with the best unsweet sweet tea this side of the Mississippi. I learned the other day that Miss Stephanie, she drinks unsweet tea. So sister, we have to stick together. One day we're going to start a revolution. But until now, we'll have to submit to everyone else the best sweet tea this side of the Mississippi. With all the food and celebrations and festivities and the treats that we enjoy this time of year, something else creeps into our parties that hinders us from enjoying God's bounty in our lives. We tell ourselves that X is unhealthy. Vanity influences the portions on our plate, and so we get too little, or we get too much. And in the middle of dissecting the food pyramid, we miss the blessings of God. Now, before I go any farther, I want to make this disclaimer. And you have to catch this. If you don't catch this, then anything else I say will fall on deaf ears. I am no expert on the human body. I am no expert on its internal or external workings. I can move my arms, I can move my legs, and that's as far as my knowledge goes. I've never been qualified as an expert in the field of medicine, dietetics, or exercise. So what I'm going to offer tonight is not medical advice, it's not advice on your diet, nor is it advice on how you should exercise. My approach is to take food at face value and consider this. Is food good? Can we enjoy food? Does God place any restrictions on our enjoyment? That's what I want us to look at in this first point, and then point two and three will be more spiritual in nature. So let's turn to God's Word and see what we can learn about our enjoyment of food. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 1. Let's go to the very beginning. That's always a good place to start. Genesis chapter 1, in verse 27, the Bible says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So here we see at the very beginning, God gives mankind fruits and vegetables for our enjoyment. Now flip over a few pages to Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter 9, and this is after the flood. Verse 3, Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So now we see in Genesis chapter 9 that God is adding meat to the menu with one restriction. If you're going to eat a steak, make sure you put it on the grill first. The cow had better not be mooing. Do not eat meat with blood in it. Now go over to Psalm 104. So we see God has given us fruits, vegetables. He's given us meat to eat. Psalm 104, verse 14. Psalm 104, verse 14, He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Now jump down to verse 27. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. If you remember and recall in Acts chapter 14, when Barnabas and Saul, they came to the city of Lystra, and there was a man there who had crippled feet, and they healed him. And the people of that city, their mind was blown. They thought the gods had come down, and they were going to worship Barnabas and Saul. And here's what Barnabas and Saul responded with. In Acts chapter 14, Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. Now listen to this now. Filling our hearts with food and gladness. So according to this verse in Acts chapter 14, there is a direct correlation between food and enjoyment. God has blessed us with these things for our benefit. Food to fill our hearts with gladness. Joy, gladness, satisfaction comes with a well-balanced meal, with a good, hearty meal. I enjoy meat, and I enjoy a wide range of meat. Beef, pork, chicken, tuna, salmon, deer. There's meats out there I haven't even tried that I probably would like if I did try it. I enjoy meat. But I have never had the desire to go down to the market and get a tongue that's been extracted from a bovine. I don't want cow tongue. No, thank you. I enjoy vegetables. And I eat a wide range of vegetables. Just ask my wife. I love vegetables. Carrots, broccoli, okra, corn, potatoes, lima beans. I love it all. But I have never had the desire to go down to the market and pick out some purple roots that we call beets. No, thank you. I'm not interested. Those are for y'all. Are cow tongues bad? Are beets harmful? I see no restrictions on either one of those in the Word of God. But we all have preferences. And there are things that won't sit well with our palates. And we're just, no thank you. But just because that's not our preference, just because it doesn't sit well with our palate, that doesn't mean that we should rain on the parade if somebody opts for a slab of tongue and a pile of roots. If that's your decision to make, God bless you. I've heard these things that, and I haven't done my research, and so I don't know the truth of it or if there's any falseness to it, but I've heard that they pump chickens full of hormones. And so people say, you know what, because I've done my research on that, meat isn't an option for me. Or they say that, you know, I've been reading and I've learned that they spray fields with pesticides, and so I'm not going to entertain eating any kind of greens like that. You know what I say to that? Those are fair and valid concerns. And I'm not going to mock anyone for having those concerns. But when I sit down and I eat chicken, and I sit down and I eat lettuce, I don't offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to the USDA or the FDA. I thank my Heavenly Father above for the food that is before me. Because I know that He made the chicken. I know that He caused that lettuce to grow. Not somebody on Capitol Hill. And so I can enjoy those things in good faith. But if someone cannot enjoy those things in good faith, neither should they be condemned. Here's the point in the case that I'm trying to make. God has given us richly all things to enjoy, and this is a festive season that we're in. Multi-week, multi-month, festive season that we are in, and the Lord is pleased to fill our hearts and bellies with food and gladness. So I say, enjoy yourselves. Rejoice. Be glad in God's bounty and what He's done in your life. Be glad for His provisions. Invite somebody over who's not as well off as you and put before them a meal fit for a king. But it's going to go to my hips. My suit jacket won't fit anymore. Who cares? We can worry about that in the springtime. God has given us meat, vegetables, and sweet treats to nourish our bodies and provide enjoyment. I know we didn't look at any verses about sweets, but there's plenty of verses about honey in God's Word, so it's there. God's given us meat and vegetables and sweet treats to nourish our bodies and for our enjoyment. So 'tis the season of receiving and rejoicing in God's goodness. Now, we have to temper our enthusiasm a little bit because we can get carried away with a good thing, right? And then pretty soon you're, I ate too much of that. And you're pushing yourself away from the table. Confession is good for the soul, and so I'll confess. It doesn't do much for the waistline, but it is good for the soul. And I know some of you are thinking, what waistline? But I have one, and I have some lessons to learn from this. After Sam and Erica's wedding on Friday, the family and the guests, we all went out to a Brazilian steakhouse. Their marriage, it was a joyous occasion. And so there's very much a time to go out and celebrate with them in their union that God has blessed. And so we're all going out to this Brazilian steakhouse to enjoy some great food. Let me tell you what, the first thing on my plate at this steakhouse, a big pile of salad. Yes, I know, I'm weird. I love salad, all right? Is it my love for greens or is it my love for dressing? It's both. I love ranch dressing and I love salad. But as these things go at Brazilian steakhouses, the servers begin bringing out meat after meat after meat. Beef, chicken, there was lamb, they had meat wrapped in bacon, all different kinds of seasonings and spices and flavors. Yes, please. Yes, please. I'll take some of that. And so pretty soon, I had this heaping big pile of meat on my platter. And before long, my belly was overly full, and there was still food on the plate that I could not eat. We've all been there, right? Especially on November 27th, right? That's Thanksgiving Day. I think most of us have been there where we get loaded up with food and then we're so miserable afterwards and we slip into that food coma. Lord, I need a nap. Give me 2 hours and then I'll hit the dessert line. We've all been there before and the food's just coming out of our ears. That's not a pleasant feeling. That's not a good feeling. That spirit of adventure I have for traveling, I have that same spirit when it comes to food. And I'll try anything once, unless it's a cow tongue. But more than likely, I will try anything once. And that was my attitude at this steakhouse was, sure, of course. Just put a little bit on my plate and I'll try it. It's fun trying new foods. It's enjoying, it's a good time to enjoy the foods that we know we already love. But when we eat to excess, we miss the mark. And so our prayer ought to mirror that of a man in Proverbs chapter 30, where he says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord? I don't need God. I have everything I need.' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." This man is asking God to give him what he needs, not too much, and not too little. According to Psalm 37, the children of God will never beg for bread, but nor should we ever be found guilty of being gluttons. We must temper our appetites and live in moderation, and if necessary, put a knife to our throats if we be given to appetite. That's what Proverbs 23:2 says. Growing up, our coon dogs, they ate 1 to 2 meals a day. Kind of depends on the season, how much hunting we were doing, but we would give them one large meal in the evening, or we'd do a small meal in the morning and then a small meal in the evening. So our dogs were neither fat, neither were they skin and bones. And I've seen both sides of that where, you know, we'd go coon hunting with some friends and they'd drop the tailgate and they'd open the dog box and out would waddle this fat tick. And they would have to, like, literally pick the dog and, like, set him down on the ground. I'm like, "Mister, your dog ain't going anywhere. Like, it can barely fit through the brush. It's not going to do any hunting at all." And then when we went back to the truck, picked the dog back up, put it in the, because the dog couldn't jump that high. But I've also seen where guys have dropped their tailgate, opened the dog box, and it's just a bag of bones. And I wanted to shoot him with my .22. And I'm not talking about the dog, because a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But our dogs were well taken care of. And in the winter months, we would add broth to their food to warm their bellies. And during the summer months, when maybe we weren't hunting as much and they weren't having the thrill of the hunt, We would stop by the butcher and we'd get a big cow bone that had some meat left on it, and they could just gnaw on that. So our dogs were well taken care of. But it didn't matter the amount of food they had or the treats that we gave them. We had dogs that would just inhale their food. Just like, that's how they ate. I can't even do it like them, but it was disturbing to watch. Like, I'm sure that was disturbing for you to watch. They would just inhale their food. It's like they hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. You know, we can have those same tendencies. There's enough food in our pantries to last a year. If you open up the fridge, it looks like a 5-star restaurant. And the whole time we're thinking about, my next grocery list, got to make sure to get that filled out. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So do I sit in my dining room, at my table in the dining room, and I get my napkins out, and my knife, and my fork, and I just wait for God to show up with a silver platter like he's my butler? Do I do that? That's foolishness. But neither do I fret and worry about when my next meal is going to come, as if my heavenly Father has ever failed to provide for my needs and take care of me. He's always taking care of my needs. I'm to be content with such things as he's given and need no more and need no less. 'Tis the season of contentment with God's goodness. So during this festive time of year, remember, God has given us meat and vegetables and sweet treats to nourish our bodies and provide enjoyment. So enjoy those things. 'Tis the season of receiving and rejoicing in God's goodness. And 'tis the season of contentment with God's goodness. Okay, that's the physical side of things. Let's turn now to really what's more important, and that is the spiritual nature. All of the enjoyments and provisions of the physical life are vanity if they are not enjoyed by someone who is alive unto God through the new birth. If you've never been born again, then all the delicacies this world has to offer physically are of no value. It's of no use. Now we know that God is benevolent and he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. However, there is no gift more precious or more needed in the life of a man or woman than the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is the most important gift that anyone can ever receive. Friends, food, fun. This is one of the wonderful things about this time of year, but Christmas is about Christ. That is what Christmas is all about. The Messiah has come, Emmanuel on earth. He is on a rescue mission, saving mankind from despair, bringing light into the darkness, healing the wounds of sin, bringing hope for our future, rescuing rebels and reconciling rebels with their Creator. The love of God poured out to the human race. This is Christmas grace. Quote this verse with me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's that verse tell us again? God gave his only begotten Son. In Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's nothing you've done. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. There are hundreds of verses which communicate the actionable evidence of God's love to men and women, to boys and girls, rich and poor, young and old, red, yellow, black and white, all people in every generation. God's love has been poured out to mankind through his Son, Jesus Christ. On that holy and silent night in Bethlehem, condemnation did not lie in the manger. Salvation was lying in the manger. Amen. Hope was wrapped in swaddling clothes. An offering of peace was surrounded by ox and ass. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. John 3:17. The grace of God, which angels heralded that night, glory to God, peace and goodwill. The grace of God, which brought wise men from afar to worship him. The grace of God made known to shepherds who were watching over their flock by night is still the gospel of grace today. It is the good news of a Savior born of a virgin, a Savior who grew in wisdom and stature, a Savior who washed dirty feet and healed lame feet, a Savior who suffered and bled and died, a Savior who rose victorious over death and the grave, and a Savior who is returning to rule and reign forever in righteousness. The King of Israel can be the King of your heart today. That's the good news about Christmas. 'Tis the season to receive and rejoice in the salvation of God. By the good hand of God upon us, we've enjoyed a wonderful year. And during these times of festivities, these seasons, and these days that we set aside to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year, we have so much food that we enjoy and the fellowship with one another and the friends and the fun that we have. But you know what? It wouldn't be much of a year if the other 363 days were just saltines and pintos and muddy water. It wouldn't be very enjoyable. And so I think if we're all honest with one another, and I'll be the first to testify to this, that God has richly blessed every day of my life this year and all of my years. And I enjoy an abundant life. And I have no need of anything. He has provided for my every need. And if worms consume it all tomorrow, if thieves break in and steal, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is still good. With or without those provisions, God is still worthy of all glory and all praise. The glorious day of your new birth, the day that Jesus washed your sins away, that day when you called upon him for saving, that day can never be undone or taken away. Amen. It was just one moment in time. You may have prayed a 30-second prayer or a 3-minute prayer or a 13-minute prayer, but it was just one moment. And that one moment eternally etched your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It will never be blotted out. It will never be removed. But the rest of your Christian life doesn't have to be saltines and pintos and muddy water. Each day in the Lord can be a celebration. Each dawn can bring joy and a smile to your face. And every sunset, there can be laughter. Listen to these verses. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. These gifts, these good things that pertain to life and godliness, they're after a spiritual sort. God isn't shopping Amazon to bless us. No, it's issuing from His divine nature. It is imparted to us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Everything that we need to grow and mature, to live fulfilling and meaningful lives in this world, to bring glory to His name and good to our neighbors. It is all found in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's cultivated in a thriving relationship with Him. It's built upon a life of prayer. It's meditating upon the Word of God. It's actively serving within this pillar and ground of truth, which is called a church. Who in their right mind would refuse these gifts? Or who in their right mind would refuse to use these gifts? Well, I'm on my way to heaven. That's good enough for me. I think Pastor, he mentioned something about a possum and persimmons Sunday. That's what a possum with a cheek full of unripe persimmons is like, is that Christian that says, oh, I'm on my way to heaven and I don't want to do anything else. When you show up to that possum with persimmons in his mouth, they just show their teeth. Because persimmons are bitter. Unripe persimmons are bitter. And they just show their teeth. Or they roll over and act like they can't do anything. But that shouldn't be any one of us. We have reason to live for Christ and to live for one another. Use the gifts that God has given us. 'Tis the season to receive God's good gifts and use them for His glory, for the good of our neighbors, and for the own blessed benefit of our lives. There is no greater giver than God Almighty. We cannot outgive God. God has given us so much, and we could never repay Him. He has given us health and sustenance. He takes care of us physically. But spiritually, He's offered and He's given, He's made available eternal life to any who would forsake sin and call upon His name. He gives His Spirit to help us grow, to love and to serve one another, and to love Him with all of our heart. All we have to do, open our mouths wide, and God will fill it. 'Tis the season of receiving. So this Christmas season, this holiday season that we're celebrating, I encourage you to kick Mr. Scrooge or kick Mr. Grinch to the curb. Or better yet, invite them in and share with them some Christmas grace. Share with them the Christmas story. Yes, provide a meal for them. Bless their lives. But more so, open up the Word and say, let me tell you about my Savior. Born on a starry night in Bethlehem, without all the pomp and all the circumstance, just ox and ass, manger, a little bit of hay, the Savior come into this world, Emmanuel, God with us. God did not abandon mankind. He came in exactly the right moment, lived a sinless life, blessed all of those around Him, taught truth like no man has ever taught truth. He suffered and bled and died. He humbled Himself, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Why? Because of my sin and because of your sin. They laid Him in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, He rose up victorious over sin and death in the grave. Amen. He's in heaven right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting. One day He's going to come back and get His bride, the church, and will forever be with the Lord. Even so, come, Lord, quickly. But this holiday season, 'tis the season of receiving. So those big meals that you have planned, the meat, the vegetables, the desserts, don't turn it away. Receive it. Enjoy what God has given us. But be mindful not to turn into a roly-poly. I have to be mindful of that myself. Just because my body metabolizes it quick doesn't mean that I can't be a glutton. But enjoy those good things. But thank God, most of all, thank God this holiday season for His salvation, for Jesus Christ and what He's done. And look forward to tomorrow and the new year. Lord, I want to serve You. I want to do better. I want to do more for You. Use me in the life of someone around me. Help me to share the Christmas story. 'Tis the season of receiving. Let's all stand for prayer.